It is my pleasure to be here. My name is Spencer Epp, as Stuart said, and right now I'm putting on a timer because once I get going, it's really hard to stop. So this is for both our sakes, actually. Okay, so where have we been in the service and like our series so far? We've been in the series called This is Life, A People Apprenticed to the Life of Jesus. And so we've been really breaking down this passage, Matthew 4, 19. Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of people. And so we broke that down into four parts, right? So first we have to be loved by Jesus, to be led by Jesus, to become like Jesus, and then to lead others to Jesus. Okay, so we're at the become like Jesus. This is our fourth Sunday right now. Oh, thank you, Michelle. Let's hear it for Michelle. Yes, that was really nice of you. Okay, so this is become, how do we become like Jesus? This is what we're talking about. And so when we talk about becoming like someone, we're talking about a change. And I'm hoping this morning that we're gonna step into a change in our lives. We're gonna step into God's love, and we're gonna learn how to love people, and in doing so, we're gonna become more like Jesus. And so this is an exciting morning. And so this is exactly what I want to talk about. I want to talk about becoming like Jesus involves God's love changing us into a loving, sent community. And I think despite our culture's emphasis on love, we're lonely, right? We're a lonely culture. And here's some statistics that I found on The Guardian. And so there's a couple countries like America, Britain, Canada, and Australia. We have very similar cultures and societies. And so here's some stats taken from Australia, from The Guardian. More than one-fifth of Australians rarely or they never feel like they have someone to talk to or turn to for help. More than one-quarter of Australians feel lonely for at least 3 days every week. Wow. And in Britain, 9 million people have reportedly felt lonely often or always. And this issue in Britain has risen so much that they actually had to appoint a loneliness minister, like someone to plan these programs for community, like a cooking class or a biking club. And so people can connect with community. But here's the thing, we don't just want community. We want loving community. We want to be known and we want to be loved. And God's love changes us into a sent and loving community. And that's what we're talking about today. And for some of us, when we're talking about becoming like Jesus, when we're talking about change, you're going to be like, yes, I want to change. I love Jesus. I want to change. I want to follow him. Yeah, show me the way, and I'm going to walk on that path. And I hope today you'll see a path clearer. I hope today that you'll see God's love sending you as a loving community to someone else. And for some of us, we're scared or we fear change because it has this element of the unknown. And it has this element of we actually have to maybe put down something, and God may be calling us to put down something. And there's an encouragement for us here today. If you fear change, fear can exist in God's love. They're mutually exclusive. And so if we step into God's love, if you're fearing change, it's like, man, we need to drink God's love this morning. We need to drink it, and we need to just bathe in it. And this passage that we're about to read in 1 John is going to bathe us in God's love, and it's going to be awesome. And so if you're fearful, if you're scared this morning, come, step into God's love. It's going to be awesome. And maybe you're here this morning, and I'm talking about change and becoming like Jesus, and you're like, why do we need to change? Why do I need to change? I like who I am. I would say change because our culture's lonely and our culture needs a loving people, people empowered by God's love to be sent to one another. And so if you're questioning change this morning, my prayer for you is that you'll see God's love and receive that and be mobilized to love others. And so, Lord, this morning, guide us. Show us your love, we pray. Like, be here, Lord. Be present, speak to us, and show us something new about your love. Inspire us, God. So we're looking at this passage in 1 John 4. And it was written to a community that was losing sight of God's love. Their community wasn't really emphasizing God's love, and they were starting to suffer through division. And so John, he addresses this issue amongst others in this letter, but we're really focused on God's love and looking at that issue in this community. So if you do have a Bible, please open it to 1 John 4. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to read this for us, this whole passage, 1 John 4, 7 to 21. And there's a lot here, so I would encourage you just to allow these words of John to wash over you. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. And this is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how we know. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. This is the word of the Lord. And so God's love changes us into a loving, sent community. And I, when I was reading that, I was just so aware of how many times I said the word love. Like, it's quite a bit, hey? And it keeps hitting us over and over again. Love, love, love. And our culture does the same thing, right? We keep talking about love, we keep talking about love, and yet our communities lack love and we're lonely. So what love do we need? We need God's love. We need God's love to change us. And so we're going to look at this love and we're going to break it down, and I hope that we'll see this path forward and how we can become more like Jesus by stepping into God's love. So what kind of love are we talking about? Let's look again at verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Okay, this is an amazing part that we just have to stop at really quick and make a theological point. So often we say, okay, first, love is a divine characteristic. Love comes from God. And so as Christians, right, often we can ask, like, how come this person who doesn't even believe in God knows how to love better than this Christian community over here? Like, I have friends that aren't Christians that love so much better. Like, how is that possible? And so we go all the way back into Genesis, and we see that humans were made in the image of God. So if that's the case, then love, when it comes from God, we're going to have this intrinsically in us, this desire and this seed planted in us for love. And so when we're loving, we're reflecting back that image of God. But here's the thing. We often, when we're loving kind of from our own source, we lose and misguide where we're actually directing our love. And so if we're loving with God's source, this is actually going to help focus our love and empower us to be changed by his love so that we can be a sent and loving community to others. And so this is exciting, right? Like this is an exciting thing that we get to step into a divine characteristic. But we really need to understand this word love first. It's in English, we see it. I counted 25 times. And so that's a lot. So what love are we talking about? How am I actually supposed to love? What is God's love? And in English, we have all these different words, right? Like, I love pizza. I love my mom. Motherly love. I love guitar. And so we use all these things, but they have very different weights to them, right? And they actually look a lot different. And so in English, we have a hard time, I think, discerning what love John's talking about. And so we really got to dig into this verse to see how are we supposed to love and what kind of love are we supposed to love with? Okay, so let's look at it. The Greek word is agape. And through this passage, every love that we see is agape. Okay, and so there's variations of it throughout. And what we need to do is we need to understand, okay, what does that love mean? What does that love look like? And the New Testament writers at the time, they were gaining and defining this definition by looking to Jesus. They were looking at his life and saying, what, like, this is kind of a word that starts to be created. And so when Jesus is teaching his disciples, he's asked by someone, what must I do to be saved, Jesus? And this is in Luke 10, verse 27. He's like, what must I do to be saved? Jesus says, love God and love your neighbor. And so here's a really key point with agape love. The key point is that it's a both and love. It's not just like a singularity, but in theory, we actually hold two things at the same time. Agape love is loving God and your neighbor. This is agape love. And so in theory, it has these, like, it's a both and statement. Okay? And so then now I think the question is, okay, what does that look like? And John, in this text, he moves from this theory to kind of making it a bit more concrete for us in defining agape love. So, in verse 9, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. So this is how agape love is shown. It's shown by Jesus coming to this world. So that is this, it brings us from this theoretical to the tangible. And so then we have to say, okay, well, what did Jesus do? But then I think this also shows us another point. It shows us that agape love isn't theoretical. Agape love is actually an expression. It's a visible, tangible thing. And so it's an actual visible expression of love of God and love of neighbor. So it's not just saying, I love God, I love my neighbor. That's agape love. No, agape love is an expression. It's like a tangible, it's a visible thing. And so then we say, well, what kind of tangible, like what kind of visible thing are we talking about here? And we see that. We see it in verse 10. John comes out straight and he says, this is love. This is agape. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. That's love. Love is that God sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And we're supposed to love with that kind of love. So what is it? It's an abundant love. It's a sent love. It's a sacrificial love. It's a love that when we run into it, it's undeserved, but yet it's always giving and there's always more. That's the kind of love that we're talking about here. And there's always more and more and more, no matter how much we don't deserve it. We can always step deeper into it. And this is the love John's talking about. This is the love that we're supposed to love with. Love that doesn't expect anything back in return. Love that's abundant. And this is, I think, just something that is so hard for us to do, isn't it? Like to love in that way, to be the expression of love in that way, to have sacrificial love, not only for God, but for your neighbor. That's a hard thing to do. But the encouraging thing is, it's not on our own love, it's on God's love that we're doing these things. We're not empowered by our own love, we're empowered by God's love. And so, if we look then at verse 11, it says, "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." Now, I think this is such a beautiful and really key and challenging verse for us. And so we have like this picture of what agape love looks like. It's sacrificial, it's abundant, it's loving God, it's loving your neighbor, it's expressed, it's the love of God made visible in that expression of sacrifice and giving when you're expecting nothing in return. It's unconditional. And then what he says is that in verse 11, since God loved us. That's the motivator. We're motivated by God's love. Since God loved us, that's why we love. And I think we just need to pause here for a second and just think about our motivation, right? When we're thinking about community and we're thinking about maybe loneliness in our culture, often we say things like, "I love God. I've been changed by God, and so I'm going to go out and I'm going to make a difference in this community because I love God. Because I love God, I'm going to build this community of people, and we're going to be loving and we're going to be giving because I love God." But that's not the motivation. The motivation, John says, is that God loves us. And we have to get that right first, because if we keep giving of ourselves, we're not going to be filled with God's love. We have to be motivated because God loves us. And when we do that, all of a sudden we're allowed to take fear and it's eliminated, right? Because we're not loving out of our own sources and our own fear. We're not motivated for any human reason. We're motivated because God loves us, and in love, there's no fear. In perfect love, there's no fear. And that's our motivation. And that's challenging to me, right? So often I've said to myself, I'm like, oh, it's because I love God that I'm going to make a difference in this community. And because I know these things about God that I'm going to do this. But it's actually the other way around. It's because God knows me and God loves me and has given to me that I can give to someone else. Otherwise, I have nothing to give. What am I going to give? This world has so much. We have so much in our culture, and yet we're lonely. What are we going to give? God's love. It changes us into a loving, sent community. That's what we have to give. That's our motivation, because God loved us. And so let's put a picture of a fountain on the screen. This is my one and only slide. And I think it's pretty good. So, and I really want it because it explains what I want to say. And so, this top pot is God. Inside that pot is God's love, his agape. And it's expressed, right? The water's poured out. That's the expression of his love. And it pours into us and it fills us. And we pour that out into other people. And this image, we're going to keep going back to this image, so maybe we can just leave it up on the screen. But here's the cool thing about God's love, is God's love just doesn't stay with him. It's expressed out. It's expressed in Jesus. And so we receive that. And when we receive that, it changes us. And what does it change us? It changes us into a sent people that are pouring into others. But we don't pour with anything of our own. We pour with God's love. We pour in an unconditional way. Because God's love changes us into a loving, sent community. And God, why don't we see this? Right? Like, we've heard of God's love, but why don't we see this in our communities? Why am I not motivated by your love? Why am I motivated by my own ambitions? God, sometimes we don't see your love and we just see human effort. Your love expects nothing in return. We thank you for that, God. And we need a path forward. Show us in this time how you want us to love other people, how you want us to love with your love and express your love to other people. And for some of us today, we are filled with God's love. And we're like this fountain, but we're not tilted. We're just standing straight up. And we drink, and we drink, and we drink, and we drink, and we say, thank you, God, for your love, thank you, God, for your love. And in that same voice, we say, I don't see you. I don't feel you anymore. Where are you? So we keep drinking and drinking. And when the reason that I think we lose sight of God when we do that and we keep just trying to fill ourselves is that we don't allow anything new to fill us because we're full. And so God's love has to be poured out. It has to be poured out. And so when we do that, all of a sudden, it's like you can go from absolutely stale in your faith to new revelations of God day in, day out. But we have to pour God's love into others. We have to be sent as a loving community to others for that to happen. And it scares us too. But fear cannot exist in love. Verse 18, there's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. God, make us perfect in your love. Make us perfect in your love, God. And when we start to pour out, we see up here in verse 12, his love's made complete in us. And so God's love, it's complete once we start to pour it out, right? The expression is making God's love complete. It's not complete when we just stay up in theory about loving God and loving neighbors. It's made complete when we visibly express it in an unselfish, giving way. Motivated not by our own love, but motivated by God's love. And some of us have forgotten what's in verse 19 here, that we love because he first loved us. See, we're that fountain that's tilted a little bit too far, and we can't actually get any more of God's love. And are you tired this morning? There's a source of love that's waiting to fill you. It's already been given. It's just hitting the outside of your cup, your pot right now. Allow God's love into your life to change you so that you can be a loving, sent community. Some of us are hurting. We've been pouring out a lot. There's things that have happened in our lives and it feels like we're drowning. I think there's two things that I want to say here. The first is, what are you pouring out? What's your motivation? Is your motivation God's love? Or did you tilt too far and now you're starting to pour out fumes of God's love and you're not receiving it anymore? And some of us need to receive it this morning. But here's the thing. We have to be a loving sent community. I was reminded of this really recently. I had this friend that was hurting. And the image that I want to give to you guys is like drowning. And I read this article and this is where I got this image. My friend was drowning And I'm this person claiming to have God's love, but I'm standing on the beach. And I'm saying, give me your hand. Give me your hand, and I'm going to show you God's love. I'm going to tilt your pot back up. All you have to do is give me your hand. Like, text me, call me. But the thing is, when someone's drowning, they need both their hands to stay afloat. When someone's tired, they need both their hands just to get up in the morning. So what do we have to do? We have to wade into the water, and we have to stop saying, give me your hand, and we have to offer our hand. I'm guilty of that. I'm guilty of not being that expression of God's love because I forget that God's love goes out and it's poured out. And it's nothing that I've done, but it's because God has loved me. And his love changes me so that I can be a loving, sent community to someone. This is difficult, isn't it? But it's worth it because our world is lonely. We talk so much about love and community. We don't have a loving community. That's what we need. This takes work. Working's hard. And it's tiring. And I feel like, yeah, some of us have just been really grinding in this season. And maybe you're the person that's just been drinking. And there's two, right? There's all these different people in this community. And if we start being that loving expression to people, not only will those people that have been drinking start to have life because they're receiving just a new intake of God's love and revelation, but those people that haven't had life, that just the water's hitting the side of their pot, when we go to them and tilt them up, all of a sudden they're connected to God's love and they start pouring out again. And see, that third tier is our community, right? That third pot. And it starts to get dry and it starts to become a desert if we stop pouring out. So, what would it look like if we loved in this way? What would it look like if we poured out God's love, this abundant love that expects nothing in return? What would it look like in your specific community, in the relationships that you're involved in right now? What would it look like? If we loved in this way, John says, we would see God. And I want to see God. Because God's love is visible. It's a sent love, an expressed love. We express it to those around us. And what's unseen becomes seen. And there's people here in this room that are longing to see God. So will we go out and tilt them up? Will we go out and also tilt them down so they start pouring out? Will we be that expression of God's love? And here's the thing. NLCC has these groups called apprentice groups. And what I love about these groups, I'm going to talk about them for a quick moment here, is that they give us an opportunity to know who's tilted over and who's drinking too much. So they're a commitment to two to five people where you're meeting regularly and you're asking those questions, those vulnerable questions to one another to find out how people are really doing, to find out, you know, how is God's love changing them? Are they pouring out? Are they not? Are there things that they're struggling with in their life? And what I love about this is we don't just need another bike club. We don't just need another cooking class. We need community on a level that brings us deeper, that brings us to a vulnerable level where we're known and we belong. Otherwise, we're going to keep feeling lonely and isolated, even in a room full of people. And it's hard to know exactly who in this room is feeling a certain way. And so apprentice groups, what they do is they connect you to one or to 2 to 5 people where you're asking these questions, you're meeting together regularly, and you can challenge one another, encourage one another. You step out to one another. And I know, like, in a life group, I love life groups, but often there's things that are going on that can be deeper, and often there's people that you might just miss, right? And so if you have the energy and the capacity right now to step out and to become a part of an apprentice group, I would encourage you to do so. If you're drinking right now and you're like, I want to see God in a new way, would you step out and start pouring out into someone intentionally? Maybe there's someone that you can identify with right now that needs to be connected back to God's love, that's tilted over, and they've been pouring out fumes for far, far, far too long. If you have that capacity, wade out to them and extend your hand to them. So there are resources in the back, and I'm going to invite the band to come up at this time. There's resources at the information booth, kind of in the entryway there. And so these groups will look like one another being changed by God's love and reflecting that expression as what? A loving sent community. Because we need to be loving, and we need to be sent. And if you're feeling like you can't be sent right now, I pray that there's someone in this room that knows you that would come and tilt your cup, your pot back up so you can receive God's love. And imagine if we loved in this way. Imagine it if we loved in this way that God loves us abundantly, sacrificially, immeasurably. Imagine if our motivation wasn't because we love God, but that God loves us. Imagine the people that have just been sitting, not seeing God move in far too long, would all of a sudden see God, and their faith would be sparked, and there'd be more of us connecting one another to the life-changing power of Jesus Christ. That's what we want to do here in this church. That's what we want to do in this community. And yeah, my heart breaks for our culture that's lonely. And if you're lonely this morning, I would encourage you to receive God's love, to be a sent person, to maybe grab a apprenticeship group pamphlet, learn more about it, discern if that's something that you want to commit to investing in someone. Lord, we receive your love this morning. We thank you for it. We thank you so much for your love, God. If we're dry, we pray that you'd fill us up, pour us out. Lord, if we've been drinking too much and we haven't seen you in a long, long time, I pray that we'd be dumped out and filled anew. Renew us, God, with your love. May we never forget that it's because you love us. It's nothing that we do. It's all you, God. We thank you. We thank you.